B&E with you. It is a Bud Lights Football Friday. Here's a guy that says, is there anything good at Texas these days? How about the cheerleader squad? Can they hold their own? I pointed out to him that the volleyball team is number one in the country.
Yes.
The volleyball team. Also trying to figure out what... How did Daniel Jones trip himself at the 10-yard line last night after an 80-yard run? He had a chance to have the third longest touchdown run ever by a quarterback in the history of the NFL.
Too bad he overstrided. He just got outside of outside
the box.
Did
he see a ghost?
I don't know. There's some, you know, you see horses sometimes. They see a shadow like before the
he got spooked.
Finish. He got spooked a little bit and maybe saw the finish line and thought he was there or something. He started to feel like he had to lean.
Still trying to figure that out.
In order to run that 4-4 of his or whatever.
It's also curious how Carson Wentz can be so bad and then so good within the same game. Like, there were so many throws last night, you're like, what?
And some would say that's the same how Sam has looked.
And then he's so good.
Yeah.
I mean, his touchdown, the touchdown he threw to Boston Scott to win the game was a dime off, kind of falling backwards. It was a great throw.
Oh, yeah, you got to give me those numbers about Sam. I forgot to
Sam
get
Ellinger.
That from you, yeah.
Yeah, I'll give you that here in a second about how good he's been in the final 5 minutes of football games versus in the Big 12.
Mm-hmm.
But that's kind of Carson Wentz. How is he that bad and that good?
I don't.
Within a game. Also curious that I'm with like Lee Sterling last hour. How are the Texans just a 3-point dog to the Packers? I know they don't value the Packers very high in Vegas for whatever reason.
But don't they tend to keep games close because of the quarterback? I mean, it's the NFL.
Well,
a 3-point win
they took,
is a,
they took
is
Tennessee a, to overtime, and they should have beaten Tennessee.
That's what I'm saying. A 3-point win.
And they've been better since the firing of B.O.B.
Yeah, they're good enough to lose by three, right?
I mean, I just expect the Packers to score 40 points. Like, they don't. Houston's defense is the worst in the league. Like, you've watched the Cowboys, Houston's is worse.
No, I don't believe that. I'm not buying that. I'm not buying that the Houston Texans defense is worse than. That's not even funny. It ain't true.
Cowboys give up more points than Houston does, but Houston gives up more yards than Dallas. Cowboys give up a lot of points because they turn the ball over on top of their bad defense, which leads to short field touchdowns for the opponent.
I've never seen more guys with their backs turned running trying to catch guys than I do with the Dallas Cowboys over the last 2 years.
You don't watch the Texans then. All right, let's go to the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina Hotline. We need the answers to these questions. We need answers to the question, what is this Baylor team all about in 2020? We'll see if our next guest knows. He's a great friend and does great work up in the city of Waco. Great radio show there. He is Craig Smoke. What's up, Craig?
Hey, guys. How y'all doing? I appreciate you having me on.
Smoke, it's always good to talk to you, and especially this week, my friend.
Yeah, man.
It really is.
Hey, It's always great to talk to y'all, and this is a very interesting week, to be sure. I'm just glad to actually have a game to watch for the first time in a while.
And speaking of that, the players at Baylor right now, this roller coaster, they've been going up and down and up and down. And I've been saying today, if Texas doesn't throttle this group this weekend, I don't know what's going to happen. Because what these players have had to go through down in Waco, whether it's who's got COVID or who's got it and how it got passed on and this and that, but when you go through the emotional gamut that they've gone through, getting ready for games, and then, sorry, you're not going to play, that's got to wear on your team.
Yeah, you would think so. I mean, it's been such a roller coaster, like you said. I mean, it's a perfect way to compare it. You know, they've had now nearly a handful of games that they were expecting to play just days before or 24 hours before or 48 hours before that have been called off now at this point. And, you know, especially this stretch right here where they've had this 3-week break that, you know, in theory was going to turn out to be a blessing in disguise, because they clearly, after the West Virginia game, needed a lot of work still with, you know, the new staff and just clearly not knowing, you know, or not being as sharp as you would like them to be, due in large part to, again, all of what's going on. You know, with delays and cancellations and things like that. So, yeah, they had no spring ball, and then the start of the season gets interrupted. And in these last 3 weeks, you might have this extra time, and instead you're completely sidelined, no practices, nothing because of COVID. So I don't know how these young men are being as resilient as they are, guys, but Dave Aranda has been nothing but complimentary of them, and, you know, he's been very proud of them. But I'm with you as far as, if Texas doesn't win this weekend and probably win convincingly, I'll be very surprised by that, because I don't know what to expect with this Baylor football team. I don't see how they could be a sharp football team this weekend, but I mean, it's 2020. Who the heck knows?
Well said. Craig Smoke is with us. He's the team reporter for Sikkim 365, also a radio host at Sikkim 365 Radio, covering the Baylor Bears. And, yeah, that was going to be my question, Craig. I mean, you cover this program as closely as anybody, but is there any way to know? I mean, we saw him play Kansas, then we saw him play West Virginia, and that game was a defensive struggle into overtime. Baylor had their chances, but just couldn't generate enough offense to win the game. They had a lot of penalties in that game, and then we haven't seen them since. I mean, 3 weeks later, what is, in your mind, what are the strengths of this Baylor team, and what are the biggest issues that you've seen through the two games you got to watch?
Yeah, well, the strength, I would say, is definitely the defense once again. I don't know that they're as good as they were last year because they were, you know, really starting to click on all cylinders under Phil Snow and Matt Rhule. Now they do bring back guys like Terrell Bernard, and he's already off to a pretty nice start. They've got a nice transfer and William Bradley King, and there's some young talent on this team. But as much as that was a concern, having to replace a lot of guys from last season and, you know, also playing in a new defense, so far, and I know it's only Kansas and West Virginia, but so far the defense has looked pretty solid, and they look like they know what they're doing for the most part. That's the bright spot. The special teams, game number one, highlight was special teams. Tristan Ebner had a couple of kick returns, and in the West Virginia game, they missed or had blocked, you know, three field goals. So they end up going to overtime, losing that game, and you had three field goals either, you know, missed or blocked. So special teams, I'm curious to see if there's any lingering effects, even though that game was 3 weeks ago, just as far as the kicking game goes. So that's been sort of uncertain at this point. And then the offense has just been, you know, thumbs down. They were okay in the Kansas game, but really that was special teams and defense for the most part that drove that win. And then against West Virginia, they could not move the ball. They could not do much of anything until kind of a la Texas until the end of the game or in the last couple of minutes, and they were able to force overtime. So offensively, they are a question mark big time, and I don't see how they're going to keep up if Texas is able to score like I expect Texas will probably score. I don't know how Baylor's offense generates enough points to match that unless the defense pitches some type of shutout, which I don't think anybody's expecting that, especially with the layoff. So defense good, special teams question mark, offense thumbs down as of right now, but I think a lot of people are hopeful they see something a lot better than what they saw against West Virginia coming up Saturday.
Smoke, is how's Charlie doing? Is he healthy? Is he ready to go? Do you see some things in him, or does he have the receivers? Is there a running game to talk about whatsoever to keep the ball out of the University of Texas's hands? Can you sustain first downs by running the football?
Well, if you watch the Kansas game, you feel like you probably can. You watch the West Virginia game and not so sure anymore because the offensive line is still a bit of an issue. Now, granted, they were COVID-rattled a bit. There, you know, obviously were some guys in that West Virginia game that didn't play. There were some guys prior to that game who weren't able to practice. And you bring in, for example, a transfer offensive lineman like Jake Burton, who you're expecting to be a starter. Well, suddenly he's playing guard when he's never really played guard before in the West Virginia game. And you've also got other guys missing or guys who haven't played a lot before they're having to play a lot. And so, you know, the offensive line has just been the everlasting problem. It seems like it's been here now for about 4 years. Like it never really got settled in until, you know, last year for Matt Rhule and company. And even then it still had some room for, you know, criticism. So I'd say the offensive line is certainly a big question mark, even though I think a lot of people felt like they had the bodies this year. They just had not gelled or had the time to, quite frankly. The backs and wideouts are talented on paper, guys, but I haven't seen Charlie really have enough time to connect with the receivers, at least in the last game, and the running backs had no room to run. So I don't know if Texas' defense is as good as West Virginia's. If they are, especially up front, then it could be a long Saturday for Baylor because I don't imagine too much has changed with very little practicing. And based on, yeah, like I said, that West Virginia game, a lot of people concerned about this offense in just two games under Larry Fedora.
Larry Fedora now, the offensive coordinator. Dave Aranda runs the defense. Craig, you know, early on, you guys, you told us how impressed you were with Matt Rhule, even in year one when they were a one-win team, but you could kind of see the leadership intended capabilities and what Matt Rhule was going to bring. And obviously 3 years later, they were playing for the Big 12 title, and he's off to the NFL. What are your initial thoughts on Dave Aranda? You know, I watched his press conference this week, very soft-spoken guy, but what's your read on Aranda early on?
Yeah, it definitely takes some getting used to, right, when you first start really listening to him, you know, and especially after 3 years of Matt Rhule and his personality just completely different, but guys with similar mindsets. And so far I've been very impressed with Dave Aranda. A phrase that a lot of people use for him is, you know, a guy that never gets too high and never gets too low, and I think that perfectly describes him. He's very down the middle and even keel, but passionate when he talks about, you know, football in particular, his family. You know, such a small amount of football to go off of so far, but in terms of just the things that he said about, you know, what the expectations are on and off the field for the program, for his players, it's very similar to Matt Rhule in many ways. It's just a different delivery and, you know, just a different coaching staff. But what's been interesting is, you know, typically a new head coach doesn't want to really have any ties to the previous coaching staff. I mean, typically, especially because they're normally coming in to fix what went wrong previously. In this case, Dave Aranda walked into a team that, you know, played for the Big 12 title last year and played in the Sugar Bowl and was pretty good. And instead of running away from everything that made, you know, the last couple of years a success, he, you know, embraced it, and he, you know, kept a couple of the assistant coaches, like a Joey McGuire, on staff. He kept the single digits tradition that Matt Rhule had brought over from Temple, and there's been little things like that along the way. He even uses some of the same terms, like the toughest, hardest working, most competitive team in the country. You'll hear the Carolina Panthers say that now on a regular basis, because that's a Matt Rhule thing, but that's something that Dave Aranda says nearly every week. So he's done a good job of just kind of bringing his own style and his own flavor and his own laid-back approach as far as his talking, but a lot of the same mentality and no fear of, you know, using what's worked previously that will motivate these guys and inspire these guys in some way. So he's a brand-new head coach. He's still learning kind of his own style and creating his own style. We've had, you know, a very small sample size, but just from everything that I've heard and seen, I'm a believer in Dave Aranda. I just think it's going to take some time.
Craig Smoak, Sikkim 365, radio and online, does a great job covering the Baylor Bears. We'll learn a lot about them tomorrow. They beat Texas last year 24-10 in Waco. Tomorrow here in Austin, a different coaching staff and a much different team. We'll see how this goes. Craig, we appreciate it always, my friend. Great insights, and we appreciate that.
Stay safe, Smoak.
Hey, I will. You guys do the same, and I do appreciate it as always.
All right, there he is, Craig Smoak, and it's Sikkim 365.
I just don't see how they can come in here and do anything but be so happy to play in a damn football game.
And that's, go back to, like, the queries I have, right? Why are the Texans just a three-point dog? Why is the line coming down? Like the
I can only think of one thing, the head coach.
I know. I mean, I kind of know why, but it's just because everybody we've talked to, I mean, Lee Sterling likes the Longhorns big. We talked to Craig Smoak, who covers Baylor. He doesn't see how they can be in it. It's very similar to the Oklahoma game when you just crunch the numbers and player to player and on paper, and we kept saying, even our Oklahoma guests, why is Oklahoma favored in the game? There's no reason. And then you watch the game, and you're like, well, Oklahoma's not very good, and they benched their quarterback, but Texas can't beat them. Texas can't TCU. Texas was a 10.5-point favorite. Everything pointed to Texas in that game.
And their head coach even said, weren't very good.
And TCU walked in and played a C-minus game with a lesser roster and still beat the Longhorns. So I'm looking at this going, okay, everything lines up again for Texas coming off a bye week.
It's just
Baylor's been disheveled and all over the place with COVID. They have 9 new starters on defense. They don't have much of an offensive line. They don't have an offensive, you know, threat that really scares you. So why has it gone from 11 to start, and it's down to like 8? And I just
there's some suckerism in here somewhere.
Suckerism.
There's some suckerism, and I'm not falling for it. This is a Texas team that should just beat this group.
I agree.
If you just remember what you looked like, all you have to do is put on the film from last year, and that should be enough. You can have some penalties here and there. You don't have to play a perfect game. You can try to play a perfect game. But this group, like we said, is just happy to play in a football game. They're going to make all kinds of mistakes. They haven't played enough football. You, on the other hand, have played a lot of football and made a lot of mistakes, but you've played a lot of football. This isn't It doesn't make any sense why you don't beat this team by, as I said, 17 to 26 points now. How's that?
Yeah. Yes. Then this is a gold star lock.
I'm not locking it. You know
Come
why?
On, man.
You know why Vegas doesn't lock it down? Because of the head coach. That's why. That's why. Because as the same guy who says on Monday, we're at our best when we go through the two-minute office and we're up-tempo. Okay?
Okay.
Can I see that on Saturday to start the game? Or will I see it in the fourth quarter with 4 minutes left in the game when you have to do it? He drone talk. He's the one who's saying it. I don't say it.
He and
BK say it all the time. Well, do it. Do it. Do what's best for your football team. And there's just no way this team can't come. They haven't had enough practice. Right?
Practice.
I mean, Smoke generally is so upbeat about his team. He understands what's going
on
there.
Practice?
Yeah, but he understands. He understands what he's been. I mean, if he's been to practice and seen what's going on and followed their team, he knows they haven't played enough games.
All right. We'll come back. When we do, we will continue the conversation. We'll also make our Supreme Lending picks. Got to make them. We're on a hot streak. We're on a roll. But we got to keep rolling. And so we'll have that for you, our official picks on the big games of the weekend. Also answering the questions of the day. By the way, did you see that Carson Wentz, when he got to the I'll get you the numbers. You know how fast Carson Wentz was running at midfield yesterday? Because I got the next gen stats. How fast was Carson Wentz running? Not Carson Wentz. Daniel Jones running when he hit the 50-yard line. And then how fast was he running when he tripped at the 10?
Okay.
This will be good. You'll like this. We'll have that when we come back. It's B&E on the Horn.
At UBEO.com.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Show enough is B&E with you. It is a Friday. It is a Bud Light football Friday, and we're having a good time with you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like the cake is baked for Saturday.
I hope you're right, man.
And no, I'm not baked, but I do feel like the cake is baked.
If you say so, I'm going with you.
There you go. Big win Saturday. Big numbers, too. Can I make it a unit play? No, I can't do that.
I'm not trying to be, you know, Debbie Downer over here. That's my wife would call me, Debbie Downer. But you realize that the TCU is not very good, correct? Like what we're saying about Baylor,
yes,
could have been the same, was the same conversation we're having leading up to the TCU game. The TCU is not very good. Max, who's going to start at quarterback? Their defense is they had come
okay. With, they have okay defense, we thought.
Yeah, but they were coming off a loss. They weren't very good.
Okay.
I mean, that's why I keep pointing out that the teams Texas has played so far this year are 2-7. In
Let's go back to Texas Tech. Did you see the catches?
Good.
Did you see the great catches they were making?
Yeah, they're 0-3 in Big 12 play. They're 0-3, and the only I could make a strong argument that the reason Texas won that game is Texas Tech stopped playing. Like they got a 21-point lead. Late, and we're like, woo, start the bus.
Come
dancing on the
Debbie,
sidelines.
Debbie Downer.
I'm just saying. I'm looking for positives. I really am. I want to see it. I don't disagree with you. I can't come to a place where I say Texas is going to win by 24 points because I have not seen that this year. I've not seen them play to that level consistently for four quarters. That's going to take a four-quarter, well-played, solid fundamental football game to beat even Baylor by 24 points.
Don't say solid fundamentals. That's not going to happen. Not solid through four quarters. You can still make some mistakes. And you still should be able to beat them. They haven't played.
Yeah. And TCU made more mistakes than Texas did, and they beat them.
As you said, they've been having stuff stuck up their nose for the last 2 months. Here's another swab up your nose. Here's another one. That's what they've been doing.
Maybe you got stuff up your nose. I'm just saying.
Speaking of bait.
All right, here it is, the answer. So Daniel Jones, who had an 80-yard run last night but tackled himself at the 10-yard line, would have been an 88-yard touchdown run, would have been the third longest touchdown run ever by a quarterback in the history of the NFL. We gave you the B&E fact of the day earlier this morning that the longest touchdown run all time by a quarterback was Terrell Pryor with the Raiders. Number two is Colin Kaepernick. And Daniel Jones is going to put himself third, but he tripped and fell. When he hit the 43-yard line, he was running 21.23 miles per hour, according to Next Gen Stats.
Okay.
So my guy was humping it pretty good. He was humping it up there over 21 miles an hour.
Pretty good for a quarterback, tall quarterback.
So that was about midfield.
Tall white dude running. at 21 Duke, miles an hour.
From Duke.
From Duke, yeah.
So he's running.
Duke is Duke.
He's running 21 miles an hour.
Yes.
At midfield.
Yeah.
By the 25-yard line,
uh-oh,
he's down to 18. By the 15-yard line, he's down to 10. And he's just falling apart. He's running out of gas.
That's when the piano starts to get up on your back, yes. That's when they drop that piano on your back, yes, for him.
And then he looked over the wrong shoulder. And
if he would have kept his normal stride, just his normal stride,
he would have cruised in.
That guy would have caught him at the 2 or 3, and he would have drug that dude in because he's a big guy. He would have taken him into the end zone.
I mean, he would have. I've said when they ran that play action, I've never seen one side of the field so wide open in an NFL football game. Like, there was no one anywhere near him for 50 yards.
Do you know what it reminded me of when I saw it? It reminded me of those old Westerns I saw when the horses were going real fast, and that they used to, in the old days, trip the horses, and that horse would go.
You and your Westerns.
I'm serious.
That is awesome.
Because they don't do that anymore, the horses, obviously. But they used to have the trip wire where the horse would go down.
Too good.
And I used to say, how do they do that to a horse? How do they make the horse do that?
And fortunately for the for Daniel Jones, they scored a touchdown on that drive.
Thank goodness.
But they needed a bailout call and a pass interference. It was questionable by the official to allow that, or they would have to kick a field goal, which would have been ultimate embarrassment. But they did get a touchdown. Hey, let's go to the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina Hotline. It is Friday. It is 9:30. It means it's time to make our Supreme Lending picks with John McClellan. Official picks of the week. It's all for great charities, and we're both on a roll right now. B&E show. Now, the afternoon show is dragging the horn down in a bad way right now.
Yes, of course.
But John McClellan and his team are doing a great job. John, how are you?
Tuesday morning, I felt like probably Daniel Jones felt field this morning after whooping y'all put on me. That's one of those moments, when you are driving down the road about 3 or 4 years from now, and you remember what happened, and you just start banging your head on the steering wheel and try to put it out of your mind,
John, we had a strategy last week.
We did.
Yeah.
It worked.
What was that?
It only works for 1 week, so you're all right this week.
Okay.
Guarantee you.
Well, we've talked about these games all morning and all week long. Now we make our official picks. And toughest game that we're going to pick is probably the first one. College football, Iowa State, Oklahoma State in Stillwater. Both teams undefeated in Big 12 play. Winner is a huge spot atop the Big 12 standings. John, who do you like in Stillwater on Saturday?
I think I'm going to go with Oklahoma State.
Okay, Okie State.
Toss off, but I'm just going to go with the home team.
All right, Buck, what are we doing?
We're taking Iowa State.
I do like that. I think this is a really
strategy
good
strategy from last week.
Yeah, the same one, kind of.
All right, so we'll go with Cyclones with Brock Purdy, and keep this in mind for folks watching this game. The best player offensively in the Big 12 this year has been Breece Hall, their running back, and that could be he against Chuba Hubbard. Whichever one of those two guys gets off more is probably going to win that game. Both play good defense, both well coached. I like Iowa State as well. All right, Buck, we'll make the first pick on this one. Here's a sad commentary on the state of football in the state of Texas. Biggest game in football. College football this weekend in the Lone Star State is SMU hosting Cincinnati. Cincinnati's number 9 in the country. SMU is number 15. Who do we like?
Dude, that is a hard one because, I like Fickle.
You're Fickle on Fickle.
I like Fickle for some odd reason.
You're not Fickle on Fickle.
Wow. But how can we go against the Ponies? Hey, you take that one. I'm out of that one.
We'll take Cincinnati.
Okay.
I love the Ponies, but I'm not going with the Ponies. I'm going with Cincinnati.
All right. You got the Bearcats, John.
I don't think SMU's that great of a team this year. So.
Well, Sonny Dykes is getting a lot out of it. They lost a couple of key guys, too. I do like Cincinnati with Luke Fickle in that game with no crowd at the stadium or a very small crowd. All right, NFL. Good games here, too. Three of those. Pittsburgh and Tennessee. Both teams are 5-0. They were supposed to play this game 2 weeks ago, but, of course, COVID issues in Tennessee. Since then, the Titans have won 2 straight. The Steelers routed the Browns last week. John, who do you like in that game?
Sure like Tennessee's running game, but I'm going to go with Pittsburgh.
Ooh.
And we're going to go with Pittsburgh also.
Ooh, look at that. That's 3 straight road teams for us, Buck. Keep that in mind, my friend.
Yep.
3 straight road teams we're picking. We have the Steelers and all those sacks. Remember, the Steelers are on pace to set the all-time sack record in the National Football League's history. They have 24 sacks already, on pace for over 70 for the year. Also, Seattle at Arizona. This was going to be an afternoon game. It's been moved to the Sunday night game. Seahawks off their bye week at 5-0. Arizona off the thumping of the Cowboys on Monday Night Football at 4-2. Buck, who do we like there?
Down go Seattle. Down go Seattle at home. We're going to take, that's right, Kyler Murray, because there's little steps and the way he flies all around the place. We're taking Kyler Murray and the Cardinals.
I love it. John, what do you think?
I'm going with the Seahawks. I think you're crazy. Great for picking that.
All right. Okay. Well, that could be a separator come Monday when the picks are in. And then the final game, we hope it's played. We think it's going to be. It's been moved back to the late afternoon. Tampa Bay, or Tampa Bay, as we call them. Tom Brady and the Buccaneers in Vegas to play the Raiders. But Tampa's 3-2. Tampa's 4-2. Vegas 3-2. Buck, who do we like here?
We like Tampa.
Tampa?
Yes.
Okay. Tampa over Vegas. John?
Vegas, baby.
Vegas! All right.
Viva.
Yeah, they beat the Chiefs their last time we saw them play. So, they do have a little COVID issue, but I think they're going to get through it.
That's a good call, though, John.
Hey,
yes.
John, good picks, my friend. It's good to hear you. How are things over at Supreme Lending?
Well, we're doing fine. We're closing a lot of loans, helping people get into their dreams. So, what? If you need a good mortgage company, call Supreme Lending here in Austin.
Awesome. And the market is cooking, and you guys do an amazing job. You helped us last fall, and can't thank you enough still for that. Thank you, John.
Thank you, John.
All right. All right, guys. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
There's Team John McClellan making the picks for his squad. And, those are tough games,
separators.
Man.
We got some separators
no
here.
No question. I mean, that Iowa State-Oklahoma State game to me is a coin flip. And really, you're a running backs coach. So the battle between Chuba Hubbard and Breece Hall, it's not an individual game, but whichever offense is able to generate and get their running back off in this game probably wins the game. Because I do agree with Lee Sterling last hour that if you're taking quarterbacks, you take Brock Purdy.
For sure.
Over Spencer Sanders.
Is Sanders starting? Do we know?
I think so.
Okay.
I think so. Because remember, Oklahoma State didn't play last week because of Baylor's issue.
So they had another week to rest.
They had an extra week. And so here they come. Iowa State undefeated since they lost that opener to Louisiana Lafayette. But they just teamed to get better and better. And Breece Hall is the leading rusher in the Big 12. Really like that game. And the Pittsburgh-Tennessee game is must-see at noon on Sunday. I mean, if you have plans, record it or something, because to watch Ben Roethlisberger against Ryan Tannehill, both of those teams are fun to watch. They both have, exactly what they are, right? There's no doubt about what Mike Tomlin's team is going to bring.
And you know what the Pittsburgh's doing, right? They're trying to hold him at around 100 yards.
They're going to stack the line.
Yes.
And, I'll say this for Tennessee. With A.J. Brown back, the big receiver who was out at the start of the year, that dude's excellent. And it really puts a new wrinkle into their offense. And Jonnu Smith, their tight end, is really good. Tennessee's a handful, but they have the 27th ranked defense in the NFL. Houston had to put 34 points on them last week, and Houston's offense has been not very good.
It'd be a high scoring game,
yeah,
actually.
Yeah, so Ben, that's the versatility of the Steelers. If Ben needs to get in a shootout, he can with you.
For sure.
And they've got weapons, and they can sling it around.
Love the kid from Notre Dame.
Yeah, Chase Claypool.
Oh, my goodness.
They want to run the ball with James Conner and Benny Snell, but their calling card's defense with that. Sack artist T.J. Watt and Bud Dupree, but keep in mind their middle linebacker Devin Bush, who's one of their best defensive players. He got hurt last week in their win over Cleveland. He's going to be out. That's a crucial because they finally drafted Ryan Bush to replace Ryan Shazier. Remember they had Ryan Shazier who was their heart and soul on defense. He had that neck injury that was so scary, and he's still battling back from. Devin Bush replaced him out of Florida State and really had become a premier guy in their front seven. He's going to be out. So really like that game. That game is a lot of fun. And I like your pick of Arizona. How about that?
I do. I like that pick. I think they go and win that game.
Because the Cowboys are like a slump buster now. You know what I mean? You get a hold of the Cowboys, they'll if you have some offensive issues, because the offense in Arizona hadn't been great, right? They beat the Jets. And everybody beats the Jets.
And Seattle's hurting in that secondary.
Yeah, and then they lost to Carolina, Arizona had. Matt Rhule. Think about this. When Matt Rhule played Cliff Kingsbury, two former Big 12 coaches, is it fair to say that Matt Rhule had a great leg up on the rest of the NFL knowing that system? Probably better than anyone.
For sure.
Because he saw it when he was a college coach, and of course Cliff's kind of running that college offense in the NFL. The NFL's trying to get caught up with it. Matt Rhule, they did the best job of slowing that offense down. When the Carolina Panthers beat the Arizona Cardinals, I'm assuming Pete Carroll and company are trying to copy some of that, but do they have the personnel on defense?
Not in the secondary, they don't. Not to stay up with those guys.
DeAndre Hopkins, Larry Fitzgerald, Christian Kirk, Andy Isabel.
Man, those guys are
fast.
And
if they get going, then it's Kenyon Drake running the ball.
Don't forget Kyler Murray.
His short steps, what do you call them? Quick little Mighty Mouse steps.
He's got those really little short
steps. Love
that
game. There's some good football this weekend.
Yes.
And we hope there's good football at the stadium on Saturday. 2:30.
There will be. There will be.
I'm going to tell you something about Sam Ellinger that maybe you did not know when we come back.
Okay.
We love Sam. Sam's a great player. But Sam's closing in on a record that he doesn't want. I'm just going to tell you that.
Oh,
and we'll have it for you. Also, a preview of Game 3 of the World Series and the weekend at the World Series. How good has Charlie Morton been in postseason play? Pretty amazing. It's B&E on the Horn. Friday on the Horn, B&E with you. Busy weekend of football begins tonight on the Horn with our Flex ATX pregame show. Snoop Daniel getting you ready for all the high school football action on a Friday night, 6:30. Buck will be a part of the Lake Travis Austin highball game tonight, which will be fun. Vista Vandegrift.
Absolutely.
Over on 101.9 AM 1260. And, of course, Flex ATX, the website, flexatx.com. Snoop is and Craig White doing an incredible job with all the high school sports and high school football coverage, including recaps of last night's three games that were played, including a great one in overtime. Go to Flex ATX. That's flxatx.com. And then tune in tonight on your way out to your high school football game that you're going to, 6:30 tonight. Tomorrow, it's Texas football, 2:30 kick with a 10:30 pregame. Chad and Bucky, Rod and myself from the Bud Light Bunker, and we'll be here ready to get you for Texas and Baylor. Bucky likes the Longhorns convincingly tomorrow.
Yes.
I like
yes.
that. And then on, I was thinking about this Cowboys game on Sunday. Cowboys play the Washington football team.
I like Washington.
Sunday at noon. You know, they say if when you get an irresistible force facing an unstoppable, a movable object, what is it? What is that phrase? A movable object versus an unstoppable force,
yeah,
whatever the matchup.
Yeah, that's Washington.
Irresistible force.
Versus Bobcat Mike.
So if you have the Washington offense versus the Dallas defense, that's the very resistible force versus the very movable object. Is that right?
Yes.
Something's got to give on that. Like, the Washington team can't score on anybody.
No, but Washington's defense
can stop Dallas.
Yes.
So I'm trying to figure out, is this an over game or an under game? Because you feel like with the banged up Cowboys offensive line, Washington's defensive line should maul them.
Yeah, they're going to get some turnovers in good position, good field position.
But Washington can't score.
I know, they can't score. Just go ahead and take.
But Dallas can't stop anybody. They put up the most points by a mile in the
Washington's
league.
Getting points. Getting points at home.
I kind of like the Cowboys here. I don't know why. It's just a weird. Washington's the only thing that's the only team more dysfunctional in Dallas right now.
Are you having the same feeling I have about the Longhorns, huh?
Yeah.
Horns are going to smash this group.
Can I say something about
Sam
Ellinger?
Sick of Bears.
Can I say something about
Sam?
By the way,
you give me
before
those numbers?
I get the Sam Ellinger number,
okay.
Somebody mentioned the Texas victory in Big 12 play came at Texas Tech, and I mentioned you could argue that Texas Tech kind of stopped playing there in the final 4 minutes of the game, felt like they had it in the bag. And this guy says, Tech over there dancing on the table while Tom Herman, DJ Tom, was spinning the hit. Because we heard that Tom Herman used to be the DJ at the Texas Cal Lutheran basketball game.
Let's hear that. Let's hear that again.
I remember him being the MC for our women's basketball game. My girlfriend at the time, my wife now, was on that basketball team. And so I would show up in the gym, and there's Tom, man. He's announcing it, you know. And then it would get to halftime, and, like, the lights would turn down, and they'd have, like, these strobe lights. And then Tom is on the table, like, dancing. And so it's like, wow, yeah.
Tom is on the table, like, dancing.
Hey, Dave, listen, can you help me with this?
So DJ Tom and the
Longhorns. Sofa, put it in the van for me.
I haven't been able to find the Sam Ellinger numbers I wanted to get. Yeah, I'll compile them for tomorrow's pregame show.
Okay, thank you.
Because Sam Ellinger in the first 3.5 quarters of football games, statistics versus his final 5 minutes of football, pretty incredible.
Totally different.
But I can't find them right this second. I had them, and now I can't find them. But here's a stat on Sam Ellinger I can give you. Do you realize that with a loss tomorrow, Sam Ellinger will join two other quarterbacks as the losingest quarterbacks in Texas football history? Yes.
What?
By number. And with two more losses, he will, by himself, own the most losses ever by a starting quarterback at the University of Texas.
We can never count the greatest American hero as a starter, right?
Colt McCoy?
No, the other McCoy.
Case McCoy.
Yes, the greatest American. There's only one greatest American hero.
That's true.
That's Case McCoy.
Well, he went 9-7 as a starter at Texas. So lost 7 games, won 9. His brother Colt went 45-8. His predecessors, Vince Young, Colt McCoy's predecessor, went 30-2 as a starting quarterback at Texas. The great Bobby Lane, 28-6. Chris Sims went 26-6.
What?
Sam Ellinger with a loss tomorrow, that will be his 15th loss as a Longhorn starting quarterback.
So who do I look at?
He already has 15. Tomorrow will be 16.
Okay, who do I look at? Do I look at the quarterback?
Well, no, that's what I'm saying.
Or do I look at the coaches?
Like right now, Sam Ellinger is 24-15 as a starting quarterback. 24-15 as a starting quarterback at Texas. And with a loss tomorrow, he would join, do you know the other two quarterbacks with 16 all-time there's one quarterback that has 16 losses at Texas.
Don't say James Brown.
No. Peter Gardere. Peter Gardere.
But it doesn't matter because he always beats OU.
Pete went 20.
Always.
You know, Pete went 25-16, which means he started for 4 years like Sam, but he owns the most losses ever by a starting quarterback at Texas. I had it wrong. Brett Stafford is 15. So right now, Sam is tied with Brett Stafford with 15 all-time losses.
Sure. I mean, Mr. Stafford's ready to hear that.
Hey, Brett. But no, Sam, look, I mean, gosh, one of the things that's become popular now is this, people have this emoji of Sam Ellinger, I stand with Sam kind of thing. Well, it's an indictment on the whole program.
Yes.
That a player like Sam is going to potentially be the losingest quarterback in the history of the program.
Yes, it is. You didn't use him when you had him. You didn't use him properly when you had him.
Well, if you want to stand with Sam, help him win the rest of these games. So he doesn't go down as the losingest quarterback all time.
Starting tomorrow afternoon with a big victory.
Isn't that a shame?
On to the championship. Wait, that's right, E. On to the championship.
Not allowed.
No, yes, it is allowed.
On to the disco. Oh,
come on. No.
DJ Tom.
No.
By the way, Craig Way had a great story with Tom Herman last night on Longhorn Weekly about Tom Herman getting thrown out of a baseball game when he was at Cal Lutheran as a fan. Oh, yeah. Or actually, he was doing the MC at the baseball game. Craig Way is going to play that for you coming up on Light the Tower. Also, game three tonight in the World Series. Buck, who do you like? I'm going to mention this. Charlie Morton can become just the second pitcher to win each of his first six postseason starts.
I'll take the under in the Dodgers.
Joining Lefty Gomez, who did so in 1932 through 38. That's how good big game Charlie Morton has been. Give me Morton!
Sorry about that. Sorry about that, Astros.
Yeah. Rays, Dodgers, World Series tonight and this weekend. High school football, have a great call tonight, Buck, with Mark Honig. Isaiah Collier, great job. Thank you to John McClellan, Lee Sterling, Dan Neal, Craig Smoke. Great guest lineup today. Every hour podcast at hornfm.com. Have a great weekend.